hand the remainder of the meeting over to our brother, Dr. McLeod.
Thank you, brother. Well, thank you, Alec, for leading the service for us tonight. And I want to ask you, who can tell me what the theme was in all the hymns that we have sung? We sung two hymns and a psalm. What was the theme? Did you notice the theme? Ah, caught you, yes. Sovereignty of God, yes, but particularly I'm thinking of the word king, because we started off, rejoice, the Lord is king, and then in the psalm, the Lord had set his king upon his holy hill, and the last one there also, it is focusing on the name or the word king. Now, tonight in our reading, we want to turn to John chapter 18 and chapter 19, and I want you to watch as we read this here, the repetition of the title King as it appears at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 18, we'll commence our reading at verse number 33 for the sake of time. This is in the middle of the trial of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll notice that Pilate goes in and out seven times. You'll find he's outside speaking to the people, into the praetorium, back out again, back in again, back out again, in and out. And so he's going back and forward. You watch that as we read down through this portion of the word, starting at 18 and verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? But Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find no fault in no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Ecce homo, or behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he, that is Caiaphas, therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, and what hypocrites they were, giving this answer, We have no king but Caesar. They hated the Romans. And to say this, it shows you the hypocrisy of those chief priests. We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. And let's bow now at the throne of grace to pray the Lord would bless his word to every heart. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this precious scripture we have read together. And we pray, O God, that every one of us who know the Lord as our Savior would pay great attention to it. And Lord, we pray that thou would so write it on our hearts that we will never forget what it cost him, the Holy One, to bear away our sins. O God, we pray that thou would draw us ever closer to thee. And Lord, help us not only to read and hear thy word, but Lord, make us to be doers of thy word also. And grant, O God, that each one of us may bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord. Keep us from sin, empty us of sin and self, and fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And just now as we turn to thy word, we pray, Lord, that thou would defeat every stratagem of the wicked one to steal the word away. O God, we pray that we might hide thy word in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Remember, Lord, those who can't be with us tonight. We think of the brother James Fraser. We pray for thy healing touch upon him. We thank thee for Ron here tonight. We pray that thou would continue to give guidance to the medical staff to understand the problem and to treat it. So, Lord, we commend him and others, Lord, who need thy touch. We commend them to thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In our morning adult Bible class today, we focused on three words, not the three words that ladies like to hear, I love you, but three words that had to do with what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Apostle Peter. After Peter had denied him, Jesus said to him three times, Lovest thou me? And tonight I want to deal with three more words, entirely separate from the one that we're looking at this morning. And those three words are verse 14 of chapter 19 of John's Gospel, the words of Pontius Pilate to the Jewish people, Behold your king. And we want to look at this because this is in the middle of the trial of all ages. You have many people talking about trials that we have in the as a criminal situation in our countries and so on, and some of them have been dubbed as the trial of the century. But this is a trial of all ages, and the outcome of this trial has reverberated down through the centuries and will do so until the end of time. Now, I want to focus on these three words, "Behold your King." It was a watershed moment, a pivotal point in the history of man's redemption. And I've been very struck by these words of Pilate, and I want to take some time looking at them. It has been said that many a true word is spoken in jest, and there has been a debate going on down through the years as to what was Pilate's true motive for saying those words. Was it whether he had spoken in jest? Was he making fun of the Jewish people? Was it a sarcastic attack on the Jewish leaders? Or was there something more that led Pilate to utter those words? One thing is certain, that his short statement of three words contained some precious and glorious truth. And we want to look at that. And I want you tonight, if you can, to imagine yourself going back down through history, back down through the times of the revivals, back down through the times of the Reformation, down through history, 2,000 years until we land in Jerusalem at this trial that was held for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to look, and I want you to listen, and I want you to learn what we can from this situation in Jerusalem. Now, I'm taking the three words one by one, and we'll look at those. First of all, we'll look at the word King. We've mentioned that already, that our hymns were all focused around that. The reading that we read has many references to King. So I want to look at the word King, and of course, that reminds us of the sovereign. Now, when Jesus Christ was brought before Pilate, there's no doubt that Pilate knew something, or he heard something, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Pontius Pilate at this time would be about 40 years old. He was appointed procurator of Judea in AD 26 by the emperor Tiberius. And he served in that position for about 10 years, and during that time, as you've read, he looked over the trial of our blessed Lord and our Savior. And as the high office that he held, this man would be kept well informed of what was happening in Jerusalem, because Israel was a troublous place for the Romans. They occupied it, but the people did not take their occupation lightly, and so there was all kinds of difficulties. And so you can be sure that Pontius Pilate was kept well informed by his soldiers and by his advisors as to what was happening in the country, and especially in the city of Jerusalem. And he would have heard, undoubtedly, about the commotion just a few days before, when this itinerant preacher known as Jesus Christ came down the Mount of Olives, and he came down riding in the back of a donkey, and as he was coming down, the people were crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord, save us." And no doubt that Pilate heard that they were making a claim that he was the King of Israel, and a follower, and one who came down from King David himself. And so you can be sure that Pilate heard that and knew about that. And he was also, no doubt, made aware of the subsequent rumpus in the temple. Because you remember how that Jesus went into the temple and disturbed the money changers and so on, and there was quite a racket there in the temple, and you can be sure that this would be a trouble, possible trouble point for Pilate, and he would know all about that and would be very interested in it. In fact, he would know about this claim for Jesus to be king, because in the chapter 19 And verse 12, it says, "From thence Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." So now we come to the real reason why the Jews attacked the Lord and arrested him and brought him to trial. It was because of this claim that he would be king, and this could be a possible problem for the Roman Empire if they had somebody rising up in this troublesome province who was claiming to be a king and be against Caesar. And then not only that, Pilate heard from his wife, and his wife sent him a message, and the message was, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things in a dream because of him this night." And so Pilate heard some things about the Lord Jesus. He heard about the claim for him to be king, and he heard his wife's advice not to have anything to do with this situation. It was too difficult and too troublesome for him. Then Pilate also, he saw something in the Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ was before him, and this man no doubt had met and seen many, many prisoners. Now down there in chapter 18, and verse number 29, it says, "Pilate went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man?" You see, no doubt accusations have been made against other men before, but now, what about this man here? What is the accusation you have against him? Because I think that Pontius Pilate realized he was not dealing with a regular prisoner. He was not dealing with somebody who was just an ordinary prisoner who had committed some crime. He's dealing here with somebody else, and somebody who is much more important. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John saw a wonderful vision in the opening chapter, and he tells us how that he turned around and heard a voice in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. In the middle of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. And it tells us too that his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. Now what John saw, John saw the King. He saw the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He saw him in all his glory and all his beauty. But what Pilate saw was not like that. What Pilate saw was a man horribly mutilated and weakened standing before him, not at all like a king. And so you look upon him and you'll notice that Pilate's interrogation of the Lord Jesus Christ had a focus on this matter of his kingship. From the very first question, he said that, "Art thou a king then?" And then right up through the whole crucifixion until Pilate put a title on the cross, and on that cross, that title, it said there, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." So Pilate, he heard something about Christ, and I believe he saw something in Christ more than sometimes he is given credit for. And then something else, Pilate said something about Christ. No doubt he was a skillful interrogator as the procurator of Judea, meeting many, many people who were accused of crimes, and he would know how to question them. He would know how to separate the liars from those who are telling the truth. He'd be a skillful interrogator. And yet, after weighing the evidence carefully, three times, Pilate said, "Not guilty." Because in verse 38 of chapter 18, He went out again to the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. In other words, not guilty. And then in verse 4 of chapter 19, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Again, not guilty. And then further down in verse number 6, when the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him! Crucify him! The Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Not guilty. So three times Pilate, after investigating and questioning the Lord and looking at the evidence, he said, Not guilty! Not guilty! Not guilty. And then he came to the verse that we're looking at, and he said to the Jews, Behold your king. I think that Pontius Pilate knew more about the Lord than sometimes he's given credit for. So that's the word, the king. The whole thing is focusing on the kingship of the Lord Jesus. Then we come to the next word, what I want to look at is behold, which is a sight. And there's a stark contrast between what John saw in the book of Revelation of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and what Pilate observed before him, the Lord, as a man who was mutilated and weakened and standing there in his weakness before him. In fact, if Pilate only knew that before him the Lord was standing with his heart of love revealed to him and to the people of the Jewish nation. But then follows the degrading events. It's hard to imagine sorrow in heaven. Heaven is a place where we look at joy and peace and felicity. And it's hard to think of sorrow in heaven. But my friend, what must it have been on that day, 2,000 years ago, when the gates of heaven were opened, as it says in the psalm, Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And that is speaking in Psalm 24 of the ascension of the Lord. But opposite the ascension, there had to be the coming down, the descension of the Lord down here. And so that... you think of the command going out, Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the Son of Glory shall go out. And the angels looking on in wonderment, why would the King of Glory step his foot on the top ladder of the rung of condescension and go down, down, down to this world to be born as a babe in Bethlehem. And not only that, but when he came here, down to this world, we discover that he was dragged down from the splendor of glory to the abyss of human wickedness and iniquity. And then began at this trial the humiliation of the Lord Jesus, because they struck him. In chapter 18 and verse number 20, chapter 18, verse 22. No, that's not the right verse. It's a little later on there I'm looking the wrong chapter. That's why I couldn't find it. Verse 22, and when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. Now you imagine that man on the day of judgment who took his hand and struck the Lord Jesus Christ across the face. Now to be slapped across the face is a very, very great insult. It's not something you can hide, because when you receive such a slap as that, I remember getting one of those from the headmaster of the school I went to one day. I was not doing what I was supposed to do, and he came and he hit me across the face. And your face heats up, and it gets red, and you can't hide it. In the Lord Jesus Christ, he was humiliated by this character, whoever he was, this officer who struck the Lord Jesus Christ across the face. A great insult indeed. And then they scourged him. It says in 19:1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Now we ask the question, Pilate, you have just said he is not guilty. How then can you scourge him? And Pilate, as the procurator and the governor of Judea, he had by their law to be present at the scourging of a prisoner like the Lord. And so he was there. How can you, Pilate? You've declared him as innocent. You've declared him as not guilty. But the psalmist away back earlier, in 129, he said, the plowers plowed upon my back. And so with the Roman scourge, which is a leather thong with bits of bone and metal attached to it, his back was plowed to a bloody mess. And this is the Son of God. This is the Creator of the people who had the scourge in their hands. And so they struck him and they scourged him. And then they scorned him, because it tells in 19:1 that they planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put in him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. There's no doubt that this was a jest. This was something to embarrass and to humiliate our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's standing there with the crown of thorns upon his head. I've been to Israel, I've seen those thorns, they're long, they're needle sharp. And that crown was pressed down onto the head of our Lord Jesus. And little did those people who did that, those soldiers, little did they know when they chose thorns to do it, rather than something else, they could have made a crown out of anything. But they made out of thorns. Little did they know that that's way back in the Old Testament, that thorns are the picture of the sin of man. And so they are showing by illustration in their action the very thing that was given in the word of the Lord our God. And so they scorned him as king. And again I said, many a true word is spoken in jest, because he was the king. And if they only knew what they were doing and to whom they were doing it, they had realized how wrong they were in what they did. Then they put on him a purple robe, and Matthew tells us it is scarlet. And what is purple and scarlet? Revelation 17, it is the colors of the great whore. And here they are lightning the precious Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin and who did no sin, and in him who was no sin, they're likening him to the wicked whore of Revelation 17 in the colors. And while they're mocking him as the king, little did they realize he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So they scorned him, and they put a reed in his hand. And the reed was to symbolize the reed of a wavering kingdom. In other words, it won't last. We'll crucify him. That's the end of him. But if they only knew that the one that they had so humiliated was in fact the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they might have had second thoughts about what they did. Then they smote him. Because it tells us that with their hands they continually slapped him. The verb there is to continue over and over again. And so their hands were stained by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And reminded of Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So the Lord was wounded and bruised. And then they spat on him. Can you ever think of anything more depraved, the ultimate of depravity? That these people, they dredge the filthy mucus from their mouths and from their rotten teeth and rotten hearts. And Isaiah tells us way back 700 years beforehand that they spat on him. And again, they spat on him, we're told here, in the word of the Lord our God. And so, it's an awful sight of the Lord Jesus standing there, mutilated, horribly, and weakened by the things that happened. And then, of course, there was much worse to come, because the Bible tells us that he came to the place where they nailed him to the cross, and then that cry, oh, that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the Lord was forsaken by both his Father and by man. And the Lord suffered and bled and died, and why did he do it? He did it for you and for me. And that's why Pilate is saying, behold, behold your king, look at him, bleeding, battered and bruised, look at him. You know, Jesus could have said, with regard to the sin of this people, and I've been reading through the Old Testament, and you see how the Old Testament nation sinned again and again and again against the Lord, and still he was merciful to them. But Jesus could have said, no, I will come to this world, but let them die in their sins. And as the Creator, he'd been well within his rights just to write off the world to oblivion because of the wickedness of man. And you don't have to look very far to see it, because in this last week, we have been inundated with the testimony of liars. Liars in our parliament up here. Liars in the parliament the south of us. What scandals. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the pure Son of God. And Pilate is saying, behold, because the king is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he could have said, I will let them die in their sin. But he said, no, I will come. I will live an impeccable life. I will love them. I will suffer for them. I will die for them. And the hymn writer got it right when he said, did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose as so rich a crown? The third word is that little word, your. Behold your king. The king is the sovereign. Behold is the sight of the bleeding and battered Christ. But then this, Lord, your is the sadness. So what do you mean by that? Well, here was a perfect opportunity for Pontius Pilate. He saw him. He examined him. He listened to the evidence. Three times he said, not guilty. Now, what a story it would have been if he had listened to what he heard and looked at what he saw and made a different decision. You see, he had a dilemma. And his dilemma was spoken of in Matthew's Gospel, where he says, what shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What am I going to do with him? He's here before me. And he's declared himself that he's guiltless. Pilate could have recognized him. He could have released him. And if Pilate had said, behold, not your king, but behold, my king. What a difference that would have made in the life of Pontius Pilate. But instead, in Latin he said, Ecce Rex. Behold your king. And he would say something like this to the Lord.
In Latin, ibis ad crucem. You want to go to the cross? To the cross, you'll go. And then something like this, e miles expedi crucem. In other words, soldier, prepare the cross. And the whole time, his statement of not guilty is ringing in his ears. So he goes and he gets water and he washes his hands and he says, I am free from the blood of this just man. You're not, Pilate. You're not. You made the wrong decision. You turned against the Lord. You sent the Lord to the cross, and your stain cannot be washed away with water or by any other thing, because down through 2,000 years, that stain on Pilate's life is still there. And my friend, you think of Pilate, and you might be very hard on him, but think about yourself. In the case of Pilate, he was so near and so far, so near to the Savior of sinners, right beside him. And yet he was a million miles away because of what Pilate did. And maybe tonight you're a bit like Pilate, because your king is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Your king is the king maybe of pleasure, or the king of fashion of this present world, or your king may be money and possessions. Your king may be the pride of your own life. And because of those things, Jesus Christ is dethroned. Pontius Pilate lived and died in stubborn infamy. He was an actual man. In 1961, during excavation, they found a stone tablet. And on that stone tablet, most of the name, Pontius Pilatus. So he's a real person. He was born about the year BC 12. And he died in AD 39, so he died about 50 years of age. There's a battle raging and a dispute raging about how he died. But most people put it down to suicide. And what an awful thing for a man who stood before the Son of God. How sad that he died in such a manner. We were in Switzerland 2 or 3 years ago, and up there there's a mountain called Mount Pilatus. It is thought to have been named after Pontius Pilate. We went up on the kind of scary train that takes you up there. It's 45 degrees slope away up this mountain, 7,000 feet tall. Went up there on Mount Pilatus, and up on top was the Swiss flag. And the Swiss flag has a white cross on it. So Pontius Pilate died in stubborn infamy. And what an awful death, and what an awful eternity lay before him at that time. My friend, tonight I want to ask you, will you crown Jesus Christ King of your life? Because the Bible tells us that someday every knee shall bow to him, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, because he is Lord of all, and he is King of kings and Lord of lords. I trust that you'll come and learn from the mistake that Pilate made, and yourself come and call upon him, because thank God, when you do so, the Bible tells us he will save your never-dying soul. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, and we ask thee, O God, that thou would soften our hearts O God, so often we are hard, that so often we are lacking in love, but Lord, based with what the Lord did on the cross for us and the suffering he went through, he didn't need to suffer any of that, didn't need to suffer death, because he never sinned, but it was our sin that nailed him to the tree. Our Father, we pray that thou would bless thy people, and may we truly rejoice in his great salvation. And for any who are here tonight who, like Pontius Pilate, look upon the Lord as not their personal Savior, O God, we pray that thou would speak to them and give them grace to call upon the name of the Lord before it is forever and ever too late. Hear this, our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, as our closing hymn, number 555. I trust that you'll make this the prayer of your heart, King of my life. I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Let's stand to sing 555. Father in heaven, as we come to the end of this service, we pray, O God, that thou would fill every heart with deep gratitude to God for the death of his Son on the cross on our behalf. But we thank thee, O God, that he's not dead now, but is alive and alive forevermore, He dwells in the right hand of the Majesty on high, and we thank Thee even there He's praying for us. Our Father, we pray that Thou would help us to rejoice in the fact that we serve a risen Saviour. Lord, remember any who know not the Lord. We pray that Thou would save them by Thy grace, and may they too fall in love with our blessed Lord. May they hear the question Thou dost ask of Peter, "Lovest Thou me?" Our Father, we pray that Thou would part us now in Thy fear, and with Thy blessing take us home safely. Make us a blessing there, and Lord, unite the family circles around the cross of the Lord Jesus. We ask it in His name. Amen.